Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
I really had a sense when we were worshiping that God is sovereignly moving by his Spirit on a lot of people right now. It's kind of like, you know, in the scriptures when it talks about the stirring of the water in the pool of Bethesda and where the angel of the Lord would come down and stir the water. And the first one that got in was touched or healed. But you had a lot of people trying to jump in and get in first. But it was just a sovereign move of God. And I just want to say and highlight that by God's Spirit, he's moving in people's lives and he's stirring up old desires, even those that you think maybe didn't really were spiritually interested in God. He's actually moving by his Spirit right now and stirring things in some people's lives. And you're seeing really the Holy Spirit is brooding over situations that have maybe seemed dormant or that you haven't seen any activity or you're wondering, is this person ever going to come back to the Lord? God is moving right now sovereignly. And I am just so excited about it. And it's a time for us just in faith to jump in. Jump in. Get in the flow of God's Spirit right now as he's moving sovereignly in some people's lives and families that you've been waiting on something for a long time. Guess what? He's getting ready to move. He really is getting ready to move in your lives and your family. So I am so excited. Just the Lord was just showing me he's moving. Those things we've been waiting for a long time, he's moving. He's getting ready to do something great. He's on the move right now. We're not just going to be bystanders and standing back and watching and going, woo-hoo. No, we're going to be jumping in and being a part of what God is doing sovereignly by his Spirit right now in our lives. I want to recap and go back over kind of a part two of what I started last week, and that is strength through weakness. Strength through weakness. And last week I spoke about the source of our strength, that our strength as a believer comes through weakness. And it seems counterintuitive, but actually as a believer, as Paul says, you know, I boast in my weakness. So I kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, so last week, we ought to have, you know, weakness parties instead of birthday parties. We ought to just celebrate the weakness in our lives so that we might experience the supernatural power of God in our lives. And so, but today what I want to talk about is this supernatural, how is this supernatural strength released in our lives? And this kind of strength that I'm going to be talking about only comes from God. But you got to do it God's way. You got to tap into it through his means and not through your own efforts. So let us turn to a passage that I'm sure you're familiar with. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 24 through 25. John 12, 24 through 25. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So what do we see here? There's a life to lose. There's a life to give up. And it is this self-life that is really what's on the the offering table of the Lord, the sacrifice of this self-life, so that we might receive new life. And the picture that we have is a little grain of wheat. Now, I didn't have any wheat lying around, but I did have some corn, because I like to feed the animals in my yard. So I got some corn to feed the turkeys and all my wildlife that comes through my... It's interesting, but we live right off the parkway. So it's like the turkey thoroughfare, the bear thoroughfare, the coyote. All the animals, they just come. I'm like Dr. Doolittle, and then I have a kernel of corn, and I feed them. So, but each of you have a kernel of corn. If you don't have one, raise your hand. I want you to have one. You know, it was funny because they're walking around handing out kernels of corn in the offering, in the communion plate. And I saw someone say, no, thank you, I don't want that. like we were offering that for communion, you know? No, it's an example. It's just a... So take your kernel of corn. And basically, this kernel of corn has a hard husk around it. Take it in between your two fingers, and I want you to pinch it and see if you can pinch it in half. You can't. It's hard. If you can, you're Samson. I'm like amazed. But the reality is that this husk around this kernel actually represents your life. And the precious life that is inside is the precious life of the Lord that He wants to bring forth in your life. So, but what we understand is that as this seed, as it remains in a basket, or if it's kept, or if it's stored somewhere, it cannot produce any kind of life or fruit alone in itself. This little kernel, or as the scripture says, a little grain of wheat, it is, even though it has a hard husk around it, it shouts on the inside that there's such potential inside this little kernel. It is the potential of life that we have in God. And in that, Jesus says that this grain or this kernel of corn, it has to be dropped out of your hand for it to go into the ground. And this kernel has to go below the surface. It has to be hidden. It has to go out of sight. It has to be in darkness, in the dampness of the earth. And then it's only there that a change can take place. This outer husk, it begins to rot away. And as it rots away and the moisture reaches deep into the seed or deep into the heart of the kernel, a miracle begins to take place. And out of this kernel, this grain that apparently disappears and it dies, there comes forth a totally new kind of life. A green shoot begins to sprout out. A new life forces its way up through the earth, and it comes out into the sunlight. And we see the manifestation of a miracle before our eyes. And Jesus says, this is a picture of what it means to lose your own life to find the life that God has for you. And to come to the end of your own ability and your own strength, your own wisdom, and let it go and drop it. And as you drop it, it then goes down into the surface of the soil. It dies. The outer husk rots away. There comes a new life that is offered to us. But the challenge is for you and me is that you got to let go of your life. You've got to say, I let go and I drop it. I let go of the one that is in charge. I'm letting go of being in charge of my will. I'm letting go of having to feel like I got to manage everything, control everything. Because as long as you're holding on to your life, the husk around your kernel is not going to die. But it's essentially, it is critical that you drop it, that you let go of your life. Because the reality is that as you hang on to your life, being this kernel, as you hang on to it, and you can just almost, you know, press your hand around it to the point where I'm not going to let go. When you hang on to it, guess what? You lose it. You lose it. So the reality is that this old husk, and I'm telling you, that is hard. But the reality is it's got to go into the soil, into the moisture, and it's got to begin to rot the outside so that the new life will emerge. That is his offer to us, a new life in him. So I want to encourage you today to envision that this kernel actually represents your life, and to release it and to let it go, you must surrender it and let this kernel die so that a new life can come forth in your own personal life. But what we see today in this world is a strength that's represented through financial success or political or military power. The world's strength tries to master something, control something, subjugate it, dominate it. It tries to enforce its rules. And in that, the motivation of what we recognize as strength in this world is really basically selfish. It is self-oriented. What do I have in this? So in that, it's not concerned about coming to the end of your own life, because the reality is that the power that we see in this world is trying to suppress others so that you might get ahead. And that's what we recognize as strength, really, in our world today. But it's very significant that in the Bible's prophetic view of the close of this age, there's various political powers that will arise that are represented by wild beasts, like the lion, the bear, and the leopard. These are all pictures of kind of a strength through an animal that represents the kind of strength that is increasing in the the unfolding events in the close of the age of this world. But on the other hand, in the book of Revelation, where all of God's purposes are worked out through the cross of Jesus, through this, there's a universal truth and understanding that a title is given to one person, and it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when John sees the one that's designated as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's looking at, all of a sudden, he sees what he thought would be a lion. But what does he see? He sees a lamb that was slain. And this is what we read in Revelation 5. Turn with me there to Revelation 5, 5 and 6. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all of the earth. There at the center of the universe, at the place of ultimate authority and power, there was a lamb looking as though it had been slain. So John was expecting, if he heard the word lion, he was expecting to see a lion. Because in some ways, he was looking at things through the world's view or perspective of what strength is. He was looking at it through the natural and not seeing it as how God views it. And, you know, the world sees strength as like a mighty beast or an individual with great strength. But God sees a different kind of strength in a lamb that's been slain. The lamb has seven horns and seven eyes, which says are the seven spirits of God. In the Bible, horns, they signify or typify strength. And the eyes typify wisdom. So you have strength and wisdom represented through horns and eyes. And this is the kind of strength, and this is the kind of strength that the world regards as weakness. They don't see that as strength. That kind of wisdom is foolishness. But let's remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:25. 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Do you guys long for the strength that only comes from God in your own life? Do you long for this strength that can empower you and fill you and give you the ability to walk through life under His Lordship? The God kind of strength can only come to us from one channel. And I spoke about this last week. The channel and the means is the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the only channel that we can tap into this supernatural strength. At the cross, a divinely ordained exchange takes place. We have Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who took upon himself the evil that was due to us as sinners and rebels, that in return, the other aspect of the exchange, that we might receive the good that was due to Jesus, and Jesus died our death that we might have his life. There's an incredible exchange that takes place at the cross. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He was made a curse that we might receive a blessing. He was wounded that we might be healed. There's an incredible exchange that's taking place at the cross. And there are so many aspects of this exchange, but the one that is relevant for us today in understanding this topic is that Jesus, through his death on the cross, he was made weak, and in his weakness and in his foolishness, that we might in exchange receive his strength and the wisdom of God. I'm telling you what, through the cross, his strength replaces our weakness. His wisdom replaces our foolishness. I mean, this is absolutely an amazing exchange. That we get to everything that we need in life is centered on the cross. And in that, as we come in alignment with that, we receive by faith the glorious victory of the cross, and we receive this exchange of our weakness goes to him, and his strength comes to us. Now, that's something exciting. I'm telling you what, if you're going to get excited about anything, because I know some of you have been saying, I have been really worn out and tired, and I'm exhausted in life right now. Well, I got good news for you today. You can tap into an exchange today, and you can exchange the weakness, you can the foolishness, the aspects of your life that are just, you feel like you're being worn out. By faith, we receive this incredible exchange of His supernatural divine strength into our bodies, which can transform our lives. You know, there's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, which expresses the difference between our natural strength and God's strength, and the way we can exchange and own this unlimited supernatural power in our lives. And this is Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. That in itself right there is just fascinating. He never grows weary and He never grows tired. And I don't know about you, but that is such good news. I'm glad He doesn't get worn out and tired. I mean, I know that I push Him to the edge, but I'm glad He doesn't like say, I'm just so tired of you. You know, He doesn't give up. He's always strong. So in that, He doesn't become tired or weary. His understanding is inscrutable. That basically means that His limitless wisdom, He has limitless wisdom that's available for us. He gives strength to the weary. Aren't you glad? And to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and the vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So we have here a clear contrast between natural strength and divine strength. And in that, the natural strength, we come to understand that our natural strength is not sufficient. We lack. And when we can finally come to realize that we're lacking, that we don't have it all together, it says, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. You know, the lesson really is for us right now is that your natural strength is not sufficient. It is not sufficient for the day. But there's an alternative. As we wait for the Lord, we gain new strength. You know, the literal translation of that in Hebrew is this: we will exchange strength. We will exchange strength. That's what it really means. So we come to the end of our strength, and then from our own strength, we receive by faith this incredible exchange. You know, it's no fun walking around just feeling like you're depleted and you don't have any strength. But when we realize by faith we can access it through the cross and we can receive into a supernatural power from on high, when we come to the end of what we can do, God's strength is made available to you. But the question is, are you at your end? Have you come to the end? Are you tired enough of your stuff in trying to make things happen, go your way, figure things out? Have you simply come to the end of yourself? And you know, God's graciousness to us, His love for us, is that He allows us just to come to the end where we're realizing, you know what, God, I can't do this apart from you. He said, well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. I'm so glad you finally woke up and smelled the coffee. Because You know what? When you finally come to your end and you realize that you cannot accomplish anything, as it says in John 15, apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. But you know what? We still try to fake it till we make it, don't we? Stop faking it. Realize that you are weak. But that's not something that you have to worry about, because weakness actually, as Paul says, I boast in my weakness. Boast in it. Get excited about the fact that God created us very fragile and weak individuals. It's like when you finally say, I am so tired of everything. I am letting go of my life. And I'm now going to enter into life and find my life in him. And then the Holy Spirit begins to flow and pulsate through your body. And life comes forth, a supernatural life that has never been known before. But you know what? I'm going to say something. That there's times where some of you have come to the end and you might have received the strength from God. But guess what? The next week, you pick back up the old life. And you keep trying to walk in the strength of your life. You know, Paul says something very interesting. He says, I die daily. I die daily. I deny myself daily. I take up my cross daily. And I follow the Lamb. We must deny ourselves. You know, because our self-life really wants to reintroduce itself to us. Hi, I'm back. And we're like, no, we have to deny our old self. We have to choose. You know what you're really denying? Is that you're denying your will to do things your way. When you let go of your will, and when you surrender your will to his will, is when you finally come into this great resource of strength that is available to you. But we have to die daily. This is just not one moment where you let go of your life. You got to do it on a regular basis, repetitively, day after day. So there's, it says here that we'll mount up with wings like eagles, we'll run and not get tired, we'll walk and not become weary. I mean, there are three pictures of strength. There's this tremendous surging flight of an eagle, which is so majestic. It soars above everything. I mean, the imagery of this eagle in flight as it locks its wings and hits the upper draft and it's soaring is just so beautiful. And then we have this intense activity of running and not getting tired. But also, we have those that are walking and not becoming weary. What do you think is harder? To soar, to run, or to walk? I think the hardest of them is walk. Now, I would have to say, when I watch my wife run all the time, and I'm trying to keep up with her, I mean, I can't get tired. I mean, you know, if my wife just showed me on her watch. She said, you know, honey, look at this. She started running in 2019, and she says she's run over 5,000 miles now. I said, honey, that's from Wilmington, North Carolina to California and to California and back. 5,000 miles. I said, girl, you have done it. But I'm like, trying to keep up with my wife is like the Ever Ready Bunny. I mean, she just keeps going and going and going, and I get tired. I'm like, whoo, yeah. But the reality is that I think it's the daily plodding existence when it seems humdrum, monotonous, when we wonder if things are worthwhile and we wait. I think it's in that slow daily process that can just wear you down. It's the slow grind. But the The scripture is saying we receive strength from all three. We can receive strength when we soar, when we run, when we walk. And how is it found? We find it in weakness. I mean, these are the words that are found in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. They sum up in a very beautiful way the passage that I'm trying to communicate. Paul, you know, was a man of incredible revelation. He had revelation that was just, he was taken up into heaven and shown things by God that no man has ever seen. He had tremendous truth from God that was a blessing to all of us as we read the epistles for all ages to come. But he paid a price for it. And this is what he says. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. How would you like that given to you? A thorn in your flesh. A messenger of Satan to torment me. I mean, what we're seeing here, and I've come to this revelation. I always thought, you know, what is this thorn? What is this thorn? But I've come to realize that this thorn was a spiritual entity, a demonic spirit that followed him from city to city to city to city. What was it doing? It was stirring up trouble all the time. It was throwing Paul in prison. It was having him beaten. It was having him bruised. It was having him scourged. Wherever he went, this messenger of Satan followed him from city to city to city to make life miserable for him. But in that, it caused him great agony and really tremendous personal problems, even interrelational with guys on his team, disciples that were near him. But three times it says, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, in hardships. I delight in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. I mean, that is a paradox. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. What he's saying is, when I come to the end of all my own strength, all my own wisdom, all my own cleverness, all my own ability, when I have no more answers, when I'm pressed to the very end, down to the ground, is when God's strength is then made available to me. It's when you're pressed to the last little thread that you're hanging on with, is when God's able to come through. Because I believe that God wants to get the glory out of everything in your life. And it's not by anything that you've done. God wants all the glory in your life for what he's able to do in and through your life. I mean, God was so gracious and merciful to Paul that he wouldn't lift the pressure of this satanic messenger that was following him all around. He wasn't allowing the pressure to be lifted. And in that, by not lifting the pressure, because I know some of you have been experiencing a lot of pressure, and you're like, God, just lift this pressure away from me. Well, the reality is that sometimes it's not lifting. The pressure's not leaving. In some ways, it's here to stay. The pressure is here to stay in your life for the very purpose that you will bend your knee and say, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, says the Lord. God, in my weakness right now, I can't accomplish anything. And I'm asking now, God, that your power and your strength would come into me and flow through my life. And I thank you for that. He's bringing you to the end. I go through a lot of pressure in life. And I ask God, why am I consistently experiencing a lot of pressure? And I know the Lord is showing me that it's there for my good. Because it's showing me that I am utterly dependent upon God to accomplish anything in life. I am dependent upon Him and not in myself. My self-life is dead. My old self-life that tried to do things its way and understand things my way and to be clever and to be, you know, all the self stuff. He said, an end to it, an end to it. And in that, I mean, this is a vital secret I'm going to tell you for every one of us to learn, that there has to come a place in our Christian walk where we've come to the end of our own strength, where we can't do it. We can't do it anymore. And it's then, when we come to the end of our own strength, that we don't give up. We just turn to God. You don't give up. You just say, God, I thank you. I have no more ability to change this situation. And by faith right now, through the finished work of the cross, I'm going to give you now my weakness, and I'm going to receive by faith your strength. There's an incredible exchange that takes place, that in your weakness, when you're feeling fragile, that God's supernatural power carries you through a situation, opens up a door in a situation. It's through the cross and through waiting upon the Lord, as Isaiah talks about, that this God's divine supernatural strength and wisdom is made available to us. But you got to understand, we got to do it God's way. God has set this whole thing up. And he's just saying, I want you to see that I have a better way than what you've been doing. Yeah, you're clever, you're smart. I've given you a brilliant mind. But it will come to an end because you can't figure everything out. So I want you to listen to the last words of Paul again. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions. I delight. Have you gotten to the point where you've delighted in your weaknesses? I mean, do you delight? I want to be there, but I'm not there yet. I don't delight when I'm insulted, when I'm persecuted, when I'm going through difficulties. Because then Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever realized that your weakness is a way that God's strength can come into your life through the cross of Jesus? So then we can boast about our weakness. We can boast about our weakness. We can have a weakness party. Will anybody come to my party? Will anybody come and celebrate the weakness? Come on, let's have a weakness party. Let's celebrate our fragile self and realize that in this weakness party, we get to celebrate the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's through the finished work of the cross that we get to exchange. We get to exchange our weakness for His strength. What a gift to receive on your weakness party. I know some of you are hoping to get a different kind of gift, maybe, you know? Maybe a new bicycle. I don't know what you're looking for, a new bike. But the reality is that there's no better gift than to receive his strength at your own coming to Jesus weakness party. I don't hear many amens. I mean, come on, let's get excited. We all just want one thing, and that is that we want God. We want the Lord Jesus to be glorified in our lives. And it's not your stinking self that's going to get any glory. It is all Jesus, precious Jesus, that gives all the glory and honor in our lives. So let's choose this day, because I have an inkling that there's some here that might be at the very end of something that you've been dealing with. You're at the end, and you have a choice. Whether you're going to take that kernel of corn and you're not going to hang on to it anymore, you're just going to let go. You come to the end. I can't do it anymore. I can't fix this situation. I can't change the fact that family members, you know, don't realize the good news of Jesus. I can't fix this situation at work. I can't change anything. I can't do anything, but I'm at the end, and I choose to let go. So I feel like some of you today, this is a really good day for you to say, you know what? I'm finally ready to let go and let God's strength come into my life and let me celebrate this new life that I have in Jesus that is eternal. Because there's a reality that the scripture says, and it's a sobering thought. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose your life. What does that mean? That means you're in charge. That means your will is still intact. And are you ready to surrender your will over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him to be Lord and let his power and strength flow through you such that God will receive all the glory and honor? So I just want y'all to stand with me. Lord, I thank you that it's your graciousness and your kindness that leads us to repentance. It is your kindness that leads us to the very end of ourselves, that we might let go, that we might receive new life in you, Jesus, that we might let go of everything and to receive your strength. And Lord, I pray today if there's anyone here that has come to an end in a situation and they're ready to let go. God, I'm asking that you would move upon them by your strength, by your might, by your power, and you would let them know that you are so well pleased with them, that you love them, that you're for them, that you've not wanted them to come into ruin and to despair, but you've wanted them to come into the fullness of life in Jesus and receive your strength. God, I pray today that by your Spirit you would move upon everyone here. And if there's things that anyone needs to let go, that they can let go. And God, I thank you that your Spirit is present. I thank you that your strength is here. I thank you that your power is here. And it's available to us through the cross. So by faith, we receive it today, Lord. And we thank you for the exchanged life that we get to walk in. And I just want to encourage, if there's anyone here today that's, you've come to the end of a situation and you're just like really, really tired. And you come to the place where you realize, I just need to let go. I can't hang on to this anymore. And I just want you just to feel the freedom to come forward and just kneel at the stage. Just be before the Lord. Because this is between you and Him. And if you're ready to let go and just to come forward and just surrender everything at the foot of the cross, I just want you to come forward. If you're tired and weary, there's a really good indication that you're real close to the end. So, Father, I'm asking by your Spirit that, Lord, you would woo and draw those, Lord, just to the foot of the cross, and that, Lord, they would surrender everything and let go. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that right now. So if you're ready, I want you just to come and let go. Just let it go and receive by faith strength. God, I thank you and praise you. Lord, I'm asking that you would move in our midst right now. I thank you for your sovereign move that I'm seeing in many, many people's lives and families. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving in a mighty way in situations where there hasn't been any movement for a long time. God, we worship you and praise you. We thank you, God, that you love us so much that you gave up your only begotten Son. We thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus. And we worship you this day. And we honor you, Lord, and praise you for everything. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray you would bless and keep each and every one here. Lord, I pray you'd make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Let the abundance, let the grace of Almighty God be upon each and every one. I thank you. We praise you for the grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And Lord, I pray you would lift up your countenance upon each and every one and give them your shalom peace. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.